of a particular burden in life, and you can guess the cause. It afflicts 70 million Americans and is faulted for 38,000 deaths each year in the United States. I don't have the Canadian statistics on it, but I'm sure they're similar, just on a smaller scale because of a smaller population. Teenagers suffer from it. Studies show 64% of teens blame it for poor school and poor performance at school. Middle-agers face it. Researchers say that the most severe cases occur between ages 30 and 40. Senior citizens are afflicted by it. One study suggests that the condition impacts 50% of the over 65 population. You have an idea what it is yet? Treatments involve everything from mouth guards to herbal teas to medications. Any idea? Chemical abuse? Divorce? Long sermons? None of those are correct, though the last one was a pretty good hunch, long sermons. The answer may surprise you. Insomnia. Insomnia. We all know what that means, right? Not being able to sleep. Americans and Canadians can't get to sleep or get enough sleep. What happens is people with too much work and too little sleep step over the baggage claim of life and grab the duffel bag of weariness. Weariness. And weariness wearies. And I'm sure you've discovered that. Millions of people are not sleeping enough. And of course that means that people are dozing off at work. They're napping through class at school. Or they're sleeping at the wheel. In fact, many accidents are caused by truck drivers, particularly falling asleep at the wheel. Or snapping at your wife and your kids because you're overtired. People are weary, tired. Minds are tired. Bodies are tired. And more importantly, our souls are tired. And I don't think COVID-19 has helped a whole great deal, has it, with this one. We're weary, and we're worrisome, and we're restless within, and we struggle sleeping well. Do you know that only one other living creature has as much trouble resting as we do? And this is interesting. Not dogs, they doze. Not bears, they hibernate. Cats invented the catnap, and the sloths slumbered 20 hours a day. Most animals know how to rest. We can take lessons from them. But there is one exception, one creature that doesn't know how to rest. And they are woolly creatures. You got it? They're simple-minded creatures. And they're kind of slow creatures. No, not your husband on Saturday morning. It's sheep. Sheep can't sleep. I see some heads nodding. Sleep, sheep can't sleep. Interesting, for sheep to sleep, everything must be right. Do you know anybody like that? Sheep are like that. No predators. No tension in the flock. No bugs in the air. And no hunger in their belly. Everything has to be just so for that poor sheep to rest and to sleep. Unfortunately, sheep cannot find safe pasture on their own, nor can they spray insecticides, nor can they deal with the friction that's going on in the flock, nor can they find food on their own. They need help. They need a shepherd. You ever been there? Well, you need help as a sheep. You need a shepherd. I have good news for you. There is a shepherd who cares for you. His name is Jesus. Do you know him as your shepherd, as your savior? These sheep need a shepherd to lead them and to help them to lie down in green pastures. They need a shepherd to lead them to green pastures. Otherwise, they get astray. They get off on other fields with thistles and thorns and not good grass to feed upon. And they don't have a shepherd to lead them to that green pastures. Without a shepherd, they cannot rest. They need a shepherd to help them to rest. And in case you haven't discovered this yet, without a shepherd, neither do we know how to rest. That's why so many people today are so worrisome and fearful and unrest, full of unrest, because they don't know the shepherd. They don't know Jesus. No wonder many are turning to this and to that. They don't know how to rest. You've heard the saying, if you can't sleep, don't count sheep. Talk to the shepherd. You ever find yourself doing that at night? You can't sleep? Talk to the shepherd. Let him talk to you. Think about some scriptures, some psalms. It'll do amazing for you to go to sleep. Enter Psalm 23. I invite you to grab your Bible there this morning. Psalm 23. I love this psalm, don't you? Probably the most quoted psalm of the whole Bible. If any of you have ever been to a funeral, a memorial service of someone, you've probably heard Psalm 23 read. It's a very popular psalm, specifically for some families going through the loss of a loved one. But we're in Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23, this is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, or for his glory. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or any dark valley, I will fear no evil, for you, that's the Lord, the good shepherd, are with me. How many believe that? Amen? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's his word and his Holy Spirit. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit. My cup runs over. The Holy Spirit in us causes our cup to be running over with joy, right? And peace and satisfaction. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, bless your word out of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23, as you know, is often referred to or known as the Shepherd's Psalm. But really, it should be called the Sheep's Psalm, because it's the sheep giving praise to its shepherd. Do you find yourself as a sheep giving praise to your shepherd? We need to, and that's what David does here, the author of this psalm. No doubt wrote this psalm when he was out tending to the sheep, no doubt. David gives praise to his shepherd, the Lord himself. Notice verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Note the two pronouns here, preceding the two verbs. He makes me and he leads me. He makes me and he leads me. So who is the active one here? Is it the sheep or the shepherd? It's the shepherd, right? Yeah. Who is in charge here? Is it the sheep in charge or the shepherd in charge? The shepherd is in charge here. The shepherd selects the trail, and it prepares the pasture, and it helps lead them to still waters. And the sheep's job, and our job, is to watch the shepherd, to follow the shepherd. And what a difference that makes when you and I follow the shepherd. Otherwise, we're going to go astray. We're going to mess up. We're going to be in trouble. We don't follow the shepherd. We don't keep our eyes on the shepherd. And by the way, when our eyes are on the shepherd, Jesus, we'll be able to get some sleep at night. When our eyes are on the shepherd. What happens is Satan likes to get your mind and your eyes off of everything else. Get you worried about this, get you fearful about this, get you thinking about what's going to happen this week and what this and that you're going to be doing and about this person and that person. And Satan's good at that, filling your mind with all this stuff. And as a result, you can't sleep because you're filled with all this stuff. And that's when you need to switch your mind and you need to start thinking about Jesus. You start needing to be thinking about your shepherd. His care, His love, His mercy, His goodness to you, and just talk to Him in prayer. Isaiah 26 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is where? On this person, on that person? No, on the Lord Jesus, your shepherd. F.B. Meyer calls Psalm 23 the song of the Good Shepherd. The song of the Good Shepherd. And when you and I are his sheep and we keep our eyes on the Good Shepherd, we have this peace and we have this rest and so much more, as we will see here in Psalm 23. We'll discover the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As one preacher put it, the Lord is my shepherd, that's enough. As one other preacher put it, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll have all my needs taken care of. He'll meet all of our needs, all my wants, every area of my life, he'll meet our needs, and so much more. How do we know the Lord is enough? And that he's all we need in this life and in the life to come? Well, read and meditate on Psalm 23. And you'll discover that the Lord is enough. He's all you need. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I need. He really is. And if the Lord is our shepherd, we can know that he is indeed enough. And that he is all we need in this life and in the life to come. And doesn't the world need to hear that message today? Hence, essential number 11 this morning. Know that the Lord will take care of you. How many believe that this morning? Amen. Know that the Lord will take care of you. Whatever is ahead of you, he's going to be there to take care of you as your shepherd. He's a loving, faithful shepherd and a good shepherd. You can count on him. A lot of other people we can't count on, but you can count on Jesus to be your shepherd and to take care of you. That's what shepherds do. They take care of the sheep. And God will take care of each of you who are one of his sheep here today. And you and I who are his sheep can know the Lord is enough and that he, the good shepherd, will take care of us by four assurances. Four assurances that he gives us here in Psalm 23. And there are more. But we're looking just at four here this morning. Assurance number one, the good shepherd supplies contentment. The good shepherd supplies contentment. Do you know many people are in prison today? Not the prison with gates and barred prison cells, but people are in the prison of want today. The prison of want. You've seen her prisoners. They're in want. They want something. They want something bigger. They want something newer. They want something nicer, something faster, something thinner. They want. They don't want much, mind you. They just want one thing. One new job. They want one new car. They want one new home and a bigger home. One new four-wheeler. One new yacht. They want one new house. They want one new spouse. And when they have the one, they will be happy and they are right, but it's short-lived. Doesn't last very long. The one that they get. The want that they have. And before you know it, they're back in the prison of want or discontent again. Just a vicious cycle. The new car smells. The new car smell is gone. The new job gets old. The neighbors buy a larger flat screen TV than what they have in their home. The new spouse has some bad habits. The sizzle fizzles. And want or discontent settles in again. So the bad news is, want doesn't satisfy. The good news is you have a visitor. Make your way to the receiving room in your prison of want. Take your seat in the chair and look across the table, the psalmist David, and he motions to you to lean forward, to lean forward, to lean forward. He says, I have a secret. I have a secret for you. I have a secret to tell you, he whispers to us. the secret of satisfaction. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It's as if he's saying, what I have in God as my Savior is greater than what I don't have in this life. And so often we're guilty of thinking of what we don't have rather than what we have in Jesus. Keep in mind, when God thinks of us, he doesn't think of our stuff. He thinks of our heart. Your heart and my heart. And in 1 Samuel 16:7, we read, man looks on the outward appearance, what stuff he has. But God looks where? At the heart. He looks at your compassion. He looks at your love for him and for people around you, beginning with your family. He looks at your devotion to him and your giving to him and to his work. That's what he looks at in your heart. He looks at your tenderness, your sensitivity, your understanding, your feelings of care and concern for others. And he looks at that quick mind that you have that thinks of others before yourself. That's what he's looking. He's looking at your heart and my heart. Not the kind of stuff that I have, or how new the stuff is that I have. That's the kind of defining of ourselves we need, too. You define yourself by your stuff, and you'll feel good when you have a lot, but you'll feel bad when you don't. And that's how the non-follower of Christ lives. They live in the now. They live in the moment for the stuff they have or want to have. Always wanting more stuff, and always wanting bigger stuff, and newer stuff, and better stuff, and never satisfied. Always wanting more, wanting more, wanting more, and never satisfied. Never content. But contentment, dear ones, this morning, for the follower of Jesus, comes when we can honestly say with the Apostle Paul, I've learned to be satisfied, or to be content with the things I have. I know how to live when I am poor, and I know how to live when I have plenty. And you know who wrote that? The Apostle Paul wrote that. You know where he was when he wrote that? He was in prison. Not a prison of want, but a prison cell with stocks on his feet and with prison guards beside him and a dirty, dark, damp, dungeon-like prison that smelled awful. He was literally in the prison, and he wrote that. I learned in whatever state I am to be content. Fanny Crosby, the great writer of many of her gospel songs, was blinded when she was only 6 weeks old by a country doctor who thought he was treating her with eye drops, and it ended up being something else that caused her to be blind. Yet her indomitable attitude soon manifested itself. And at age 8, she wrote this little poem. Oh, what a happy child I am. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. Fanny Crosby, 8 years young. Assurance number 2, the good shepherd will lead you to rest. Do you need some rest? Verse 2b, he leads me beside the still waters. You see, sheep are frightened very easily, and they're frightened even by turbulent waters, rough waters. That's why they won't drink any water that's turbulent or rough. That's why their shepherd has to lead them to still waters, and they have to take their rod, and they have to dig a trough away from the river that's rough and flowing and turbulent, and they take their rod and they dig a trough over so that the water becomes still. And then they can drink it. They need their shepherd, though, you see. And dear ones, you need your shepherd so that you can be still and be at peace and be at rest not trouble. I think we'd all agree that many of our storms or our turbulences or our choppy waters in life are self-made. A lot of the turbulent, choppy waters in our lives are caused because we don't seek God. And we don't seek the Holy Spirit. We don't seek the guidance of God in what we do. We don't spend time enough in His Word seeking Him and what He wants us to do. And we jump into it with all fours on our own and without consulting Him, without praying about things, and without seeking His Word and the leading of the Holy Spirit and the counsel of another Spirit-filled Christian. And we jump into it on our own, and then we wonder what in the world happened to us and why we're in such a mess that we're in. Scripture reminds us there's safety in many counselors. We need to seek out other godly, Spirit-filled Christians. We don't trust in the Lord as we should, and we get ourselves into our own messes. We need the shepherd to help us, right? Why don't we go to the shepherd first to help us instead of going at it on their own? Sheep go at something on their own, they're going to be in trouble. They're going to get lost, they're going to get strayed, they're going to fall off a cliff, or fall into a ravine, or they become cast and they topple over and their feet are up in the air and they can't get back up again. That happens to us when we don't seek the shepherd, we follow the shepherd. David penned these words, "Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass," Psalm 37:5. And when we do this, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us to drink beside the still and quiet waters. And this happens, beloved, when we choose to rise early in the morning before the busyness of the day to spend time in His Word. And we need the shepherd to come to us through His Word. And we drink from His Word, and we read it, and we meditate on it. And that's how our faith is strengthened, and that's how we can better face the challenges of the day. And then we come and we commune with Him in prayer, just as He beckons us to come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. And then we pray with the psalmist David, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truths, in your word, and teach me. And for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all the day long." Psalm 25:4-5. And there's no better example than our Lord Jesus Christ, who we read in Mark 1:35, that says that before the dawn, before the sun came up, He went away to a solitary place, a quiet place, and there He prayed. Early in the morning, before the sun came up, He was praying to His Heavenly Father. Here's what author Philip Keller wrote in his book on Psalm 23. "The biographies of the great men and women of God repeatedly point out how the secret of the success in their spiritual life was attributed to the quiet time of each morning that they had. One comes away from those hours of meditation and reflection and communion with Christ refreshed in mind and spirit and ready for the day. The thirst is quenched and the heart is quietly satisfied." End of quote by Philip Keller. Assurance number three. The good shepherd with us exits fear and loneliness. You ever struggle with fear? You ever struggle with loneliness? Knowing the good shepherd will exit fear from your life. It really will. Psalmist says here, "I will fear no evil, for you," that is the shepherd, "are with me." Amen? David himself, the shepherd, discovered this in the pasture tending the sheep, and in the wilderness fleeing Saul, and in the palace as king, that God meant business when He said, "The Lord will not abandon His people." God will never leave you nor forsake you, Deuteronomy 31:6. And then we love this verse, don't we? And you've heard it quoted, and maybe you've quoted it yourself, I'm sure. Isaiah 41:10, isn't it a great verse for all of us here this morning? Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you," the Lord says. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." All fear will exit. All loneliness will exit when we know the shepherd and we know that He's with us moment by moment. You may be facing a spouse or a parent who has major health issues this morning. And the demands upon you are more than what you humanly can bear. And it demands more of your care, but you aren't facing it alone. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You may be facing a single parent. You may be facing being a single parent, but you don't face it alone. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You may face being the only Christian in your family. You don't face it alone. The Lord is with you. The Lord, your shepherd, is with you. Someone listening today may be facing unemployment, but you aren't facing unemployment alone. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You may be a widow. You may be single and living all alone, but you're not alone. Your shepherd is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You may be facing marital struggles or parenting struggles, but you aren't facing them alone. The Lord is with you to guide you, help you, strengthen you. You may be facing debt, but you aren't facing debt alone. The Lord is with you. Listen again to verse 4 here of Psalm 23. He says here, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." You see, death casts a dark, frightening shadow over us because we are entirely helpless in the presence of death. What a comforting assurance to know that our shepherd is with us all the time, and he's with us at our time of death. Hallelujah. And then when we face this dark, lonesome valley of death, we can know that he'll be with us and will not pass through that dark valley alone. For the Christian, there's nothing more comforting than that, is it? We'll know that we won't face that dark valley of death alone because our shepherd will be right there with us. And I want him with me when my time comes. How about you? The Good Shepherd promises to be with you when that time comes. You won't be alone. You won't be alone. That's another plus, by the way, for being a child of God, is it not? I can know that the shepherd will be with me. No one else can really be with me in experiencing that. But my shepherd will be. The non-Christian does not have this hope. And if you're here and you're watching online today, you don't have this hope that when you go through that dark valley of death and he'll be with you, you can have that hope this very moment by simply calling out to the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin and receiving him into your life as Lord and Savior. Then you can have this hope when you too face that dark valley of death and not go through it alone. Assurance number 4, the Good Shepherd extends mercy when needed. Verse 6a, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. The English version puts it this way, I know that your goodness and love will be with me all my life. To read this verse is to be like kind of an open box of jewels. Some of you ladies have a box of your jewels, your jewelry and whatnot, right? And each of that jewelry sparkles, right? And it begs to be examined in the face of our doubts, these jewels do that we're looking at this morning. Surely, goodness and mercy all the days of my life. Boy, those are precious jewels, are they not? Don't those words sweep away our insecurities that we have? Goodness, mercy, all the days of my life. Look at the first word, surely. David didn't say, maybe, or possibly, or I have a hunch that goodness and mercy shall follow me. No, he states emphatically, surely. You see, David believed in a sure God who makes sure promises and provides a sure foundation. Hallelujah. Like nothing in this world can provide. And he does not change. He does not go back on his word. There's no inconsistencies with him or variations with God. And his devotion to us never wavers or falters. He surely will give goodness and mercy to us. He's totally faithful, even when we are faithless. And what follows is the word surely here are goodness and mercy. Do you need some goodness? Do you need some mercy? Shepherd wants to give it to you. Max Lucado in his book on Psalm 23 said this, if the Lord is the shepherd who leads the flock, goodness and mercy are the two sheepdogs that guard the rear of the flock. How about that? Goodness and mercy, not goodness alone, for we are sinners in need of mercy. Not mercy alone, for we are fragile in need of goodness. We need them both. Goodness and mercy. As one other man wrote, goodness to supply every want, mercy to forgive every sin, goodness to provide, and mercy to pardon. We need both. They're like the two sheepdogs at the end of the flock. We need goodness, and we need mercy provided for our shepherd in order to survive this Christian life. That goodness is given to you, mercy. Goodness and mercy, the celestial escorts of God's flock, if you would. If the duo doesn't reinforce your faith, try this duo. All the days of my life. What a huge statement that is. All the days of my life. There won't be one day of your life that passes by that God's goodness and mercy isn't with you. Like those two sheepdogs behind the flock. Pushing you on. Leading you on. Look at the size of it. All the days of my life. Goodness and mercy shall follow the child of God each day and every day. How many believe that this morning? Amen. His goodness and his mercy will be with you tomorrow morning. In fact, his mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. In Lamentations 3, great is his faithfulness. Think of the days that lie ahead of you. Maybe even this week, the days that lie ahead of you, and you have some concerns about what's ahead of you this week. What do you see? Days at home, raising kids in the 20th century. Challenging days to be parents today, really is. God will be at your side. He will be there to help you as a parent, and to give you goodness, and to give you mercy, to give you strength and power. Days in a momentous business undertaking? Is that what you're facing this week? He'll walk you through. He'll walk you through. He's quite capable of helping walk you through your business dealings and operations. Days of caring for your spouse. Days of caring for your parents. We're getting on in years. Needing more of your help. He will strengthen you. He will strengthen you. He really will. He's your shepherd. He cares about you. Days of loneliness. You may be a widow. You may be single. Face a lot of this loneliness. Even all of us face loneliness to a certain degree. But you know what? He will take your hand. He will take your hand. Isaiah 41:10. With his right hand, he'll take your hand. And his right hand speaks of his power. His power. Days of aging. Days of health failing. Any of us there? Join the club. Guess what? He extends goodness and mercy to you in your hour of need. Goodness and mercy shall follow me, not just some of the time, not most of the time, but all of the time. Until he calls me home. F.B. Meyer, in his commentary, wrote these words to sum up Psalm 23 and to verify the Good Shepherd's care for us and that all that we have and that we need is in our shepherd. He said this: let God see to your wants. You need nothing outside of him. His pastures are tender grass. His waters are waters of rest. His freshness, he refreshes us when exhausted. He heals when we're diseased. He restores from wandering. He leads in right paths, though steep. He accompanies us into the valley with his club for our foes and his crook for the pits, his rod and staff. Spreads our table amid hatred, and he protects us with the twin angels of goodness and mercy. That's a pretty good plan, isn't it? That's a pretty good shepherd to have, right? Is he your shepherd this morning? You know, we're not pedigreed sheep or anything. But I know this. We have a wonderful shepherd. We have a wonderful shepherd who's looking after us 24/7. What a glorious shepherd. What contentment What peace and rest and safety and security from fear and loneliness, what goodness and mercy is ours all our earthly days. What a blessed hope is mine. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is he your shepherd? I wonder to you here today, to you who are watching online today, can you say the Lord is my shepherd with confidence and assurance? There may be someone listening to these words today who does not have this hope, does not have this assurance, this peace, and all you have is a cheerless present and a hopeless future. If that's you this morning, this message is for you today. Why don't you make Jesus your shepherd right now? You have nothing to lose but your sin, your guilt, your sorrow, and your emptiness. And you have everything to gain in having Jesus as your shepherd. Why not come as lost sheep today and seeking the good shepherd today? Who says himself, all that Father gives to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. He's a wonderful shepherd. He'll give you that rest. He'll give you that peace. He'll exit that fear and that loneliness if you simply come to the shepherd today. And he'll change your life. He'll save your soul. And he'll get you ready for heaven. What more could you ask? Come to the shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He loves you. Father, thank you for your words.